Oi, Google.
All right. There we are.
Are we live?
We're live.
Are we live? We have beer.
We did it. We do. Where's my beer? Is this my beer?
That's your beer. Is that not your beer?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. I got the Drapel. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got not only any beer, we got good beer.
We got good beer. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Heads, episode 312. Your once week live show, sometimes late, source for the latest in beer and tech news.
Oh, sure, sure.
I'm Jeff. And
Adam, Patrick Murray from PC World.
That's right.
Thanks for having me. This episode of Talking Heads brought to you by PC World.
Excellent.
No money has changed hands.
Hashtag not spawn. You know what? I will shill for PC World.
Oh, okay.
Just go subscribe to PC World. Go see more of Adam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good times over there.
I mean, beer is always a good time.
Yes.
So thank you for inviting me.
What, a good beer. What unites us? PCs and beer.
Actually, it's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are live from Sunnyvale, California, here at Faultline Brewing.
It's not very sunny.
I think we should
get our money back.
Yeah, yeah. So someone lied in the advertisement. We've actually been here before. Well, not you, but I was here over the summer. Rhett and I actually did a live show from literally like right over there. Like, see that round table inside? We sat right there. So we were right outside the brewery. Beautiful night. Reminds me a lot of home right now.
It's actually really nice out tonight.
It's really warm, but like the humidity, the temperature, it's all exactly like it is at home for me.
Rained.
Yeah.
But not raining currently.
Yeah.
So.
No, this is absolutely perfect. This is going to be a little bit of a different show. Obviously, I'm not at home. We've got Adam on the show. We've got fresh taps, and we're also going to have some food. That'll be out here before too long as well.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of, oh my God,
that is a pretzel.
It's not only a pretzel, it's a hanging pretzel.
Yeah.
Which is how you know it's very impressive.
Pretzel. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Jordan from Storage Review just got a pretzel like the size of his torso.
I think it's. Oh, no. It's okay.
That's right.
Okay. It happened.
Cheese fell.
Yeah. Let's show the pretzel. Look at this thing.
Bigger than your head.
Holy crap. Yeah. It's about the size of my head.
We're gonna need more cheese.
Always need more
cheese. Just mop it off the plate. You'll be fine.
So
I've seen you eat worse.
Can we talk about the beer?
Yes, absolutely.
What beer did you get?
I got from Laughing Monk Brewing. So this is Faultline Brewing. They do both Faultline beer as well as Laughing Monk beer. I believe Laughing Monk does Gypsy Brewing here, which means they use the facility when Faultline's not using it.
Okay.
I got the Third Circle Belgian Drapel. It's an 8.7%. Haven't really tasted it yet. I took a drink, but
yeah, go for it. And I got the Coffee and Cream. It's blonde ale, so nice and smooth. Pretty sweet, actually, surprisingly.
I feel like I had this one last time because I asked the waiter if he had a Belgian and he just handed me the beer list and I went, I'll take that Belgian.
You just figure it out.
Right, exactly.
Actually, he's a nice guy. There's like a party of 50 in there.
Yeah.
And he's having to service all of them. So
yes,
we're low on the totem pole.
And that's okay. Yeah.
It's okay. We got our beer.
Yeah. No, I love doing these kinds of shows. Gets to show off a really cool facility. By the way, this place is absolutely beautiful. And we're gonna have a good time tonight.
Are we? Can you promise it?
I will promise. It's okay. A guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
We will have a
good
time tonight.
Good. I'm ready.
Again, a little bit of a different show. We spent all day at AMD. We can talk about some of that stuff.
Have people heard about him? It's like a little startup.
A little startup here out of Palo Alto.
Dr. Lisa Su.
Yeah.
Have you heard of her?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Some like niece of some guy named Jensen went and started her own company.
Long
story.
That.
Yeah.
I feel like every once in a while somebody's like, "Did you know?"
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No.
Yeah. No. Everyone knows.
We knew.
That's got to be one of the most awkward holidays to get together and be like, "So, what did you do at work this year?"
Yeah.
Bourbon medium.
I think we all got bourbon mediums, right? Yeah. Thank you.
Steakhouse.
Oh yeah.
Brewhouse, sorry.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Tomatoes, not tomatoes.
That's it. Oh, and these are thick fries.
Yeah.
Wait, can
proper.
I cuss?
Yeah.
These are thick ass fries.
Nice.
You,
that's the brew house. Yeah,
that's me.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So yeah, we spent the day at AMD, got to see some of their stuff coming out, most notably the MI300 Instinct series of GPUs and APUs. We'll talk about that in a little
bit.
Oh,
the onion rings, yeah.
Sweet! Look. Oh, yes.
People have been waiting for new APUs.
Yeah.
Ryzen APUs. And,
right.
This isn't it.
They finally deliver. you can't run games on them. I did actually verify with someone that while these are a GPU style architecture, just like NVIDIA's Hopper, they do not support graphics APIs. So your Vulkan, your DirectX, no hope of a cloud gaming server.
It can't run Doom.
It can't run Doom. Hardware or software acceleration, it probably could.
There you go.
So maybe that's something we will have to try out. let's see. I was at Intel on Thursday. I can't talk about any of that yet. So
he hasn't even told me.
Yeah, I haven't even told Adam. And I tell Adam everything. what else is there to talk about this week?
Like, when was the last time you had a show?
Wednesday.
Just so I know.
Yeah, Wednesday. We filmed the
what
day after
today?
You.
Wednesday.
So whatever whatever the news rotation is, I'm a day late.
Okay, what did we talk about? Oh, Windows 12.
Windows 12.
Windows 12.
Yes.
That's what we talked about on our show.
We started having a debate about which is the best Star Trek. And I've had this with my co-hosts. But I think this would be a great opportunity to kind of go roundtable around here.
I love Chris Pine. No, I'm just kidding.
That's certainly an opinion. Just so you know, this will be Adam's last show. So.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for having me.
There's a lake over there. He made this.
Yeah.
Dive into it. Wait, so what's your tier list then?
My tier list? I got to go first?
Just so I know. Well, I mean, everyone else out here
right.
knows your go, but I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, we haven't really done the tier list.
Really?
Since season 3 of Picard and Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks got really good.
Oh.
Like, we've done the tier list for Old Trek, and we all kind of know where Discovery lands on that. But my tier list has changed.
Like, drastically?
Drastically, oh. since Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks have come out. I think that's maybe a great place to start the night. That way we can hate each other by the end of it.
I have to be honest. I do not have a Paramount Plus subscription,
man.
I actually have not kept up with the newer ones.
I'll get you my Plex.
Okay. There we go.
Shh.
He did not say that.
You know those cell posters, you know, all us home labbers.
Also, I'm also one of those weird people that I actually like to watch TV shows
mm-hmm.
once it's all over.
I mean,
sometimes I can do like season to season. I guess I do that pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, if I had my choice, I'd be like, oh, I just want to binge as much as I can.
Did anybody get any napkins?
No. Oh, they did. It's over there. Woo! Can I get one too, please?
I was like, he brought me
a
bourbon cheeseburger and onion rings, and I'm like, no napkins. All right.
I'm assuming no spoilers, but okay, at least tell me.
Yeah. The quick synopsis of Star Trek Picard, hashtag no spoilers. Have you even seen Picard yet?
No.
Okay. Season 1, C+. Great effort, pretty decent story. Not the best storytelling, a little slow in parts, a little too fast in other parts.
Huh.
But overall, great story and one of the greatest character moments of all time at the end of it. Wait. Episode 10.
Greatest
Chef's
character
kiss.
Moments of Star Trek?
In Star...
of all Star Trek or all TV?
Of all Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can...
Yeah, it's pretty up there.
It's tearjerker.
Yeah.
And
oh,
like, just...
It's so good.
Yeah, I'm not giving any... I'm not saying character names who are involved. You will care. You will cry.
Okay. All right.
Season 2, I gave a solid B+. They did something a little different. Picard is less episodic and more like an episode of 24. So it's a very, you know, all 10 episodes tie right one into the other. Really good storytelling. Season 2, again, fantastic character arc for a character that you've never met yet. A couple of them, actually. There's Captain Rios and Girardi, and like you'll grow to like these characters, and they've got some pretty satisfying character arcs and finishes. Season 3, I was so dreading because it was a let's do the gang back together for one last ride, which never works out. Hold on. Here is my episode by episode review. Okay? 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. Episode 6, 10 out of 10. Episode 7 is 7 out of 9. Episode 8 is 10 out of 10. Episode 9 is 10 out of 10. And episode 10 is probably, oh my fucking God, that was the best episode of TV I have ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It is, that season is a banger.
Okay. Of greatest seasons on Star Trek of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Is it? Yeah, you think of top?
DS9 season 4 is okay. My number one.
Where does that rank then?
I think season 3 of Picard takes number one.
How is everything going? Good. Does anybody awesome. Need anything? Are we okay?
I think we're good.
Okay. I think we're fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, I think season 3 of Picard
wow.
takes my number one ranking for all seasons of Star Trek.
Now, is this a controversial take? Do you think this is just a you thing?
I don't think this is a controversial take.
It sounds
take.
Like you dig it. Okay.
So I really enjoy. So when you were asking about the tier list earlier, I was only thinking about old Trek,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but Picard, season 3... it's probably the single best Star Trek season ever.
Wow.
Like, season 4 of DS9 gets close, but it's not quite that.
Yeah.
Although Strange New Worlds does have quite a bit to say on yes. what I just said. So, Strange New Worlds is really good, too.
Strange New Worlds, both seasons 1 and 2, are probably in my top 5. Of Star yeah. Trek seasons as well. And that's high praise. Like, Lower Decks, I think was stronger a little bit in the beginning, but...
I actually didn't like Lower Decks at first.
Really?
I grew to like it. But I didn't like it that much.
Oh, come around, introduce
yeah,
yourself.
I was about to say. Hello, I'm George from Chips and Cheese. You probably know me better as Cheese.
This is Cheese.
Yes, I am Cheese. So, but yeah, I personally preferred Strange New Worlds over Lower Decks
mm-hmm.
to begin with, but Lower Decks has gotten really good as of late, right? Highly recommend. And then there's sort of the redheaded stepchild of all of them, aka Discovery.
We don't talk about Discovery. That's okay.
Season 4 was... it was watchable. Like, I watched all of them, but, like, that one I would at least repeat.
Yeah.
The others is, like, I... season 1 actually had so much promise, and that's what pissed me off.
Yeah.
Was it had a good story there mm-hmm. of...
The problem is, Discovery started going into... CSI level writing, Scorpion level writing,
yeah.
where they actually reference sequel existing in the 2200s, and I tuned out. I went, if yeah. that is the future that lays in front of us, I'm done now.
Yeah, yeah, and see, like season 1 having that sort of the traitor, right? Mm-hmm. Started so like the first 2 episodes. Amazing, honestly. Yep. Really eye-grabbing. After that, like, up until, like, I think it's episode 8 or episode 9 when the Klingons make a return.
Yeah.
Throw it all away. Yeah. Just throw it all away.
So let's go real quick. So while we've got you on camera here, what is your Star Trek hierarchy?
Okay, TNG.
TNG 1. Okay.
DS9.
DS9.
Or...
Okay, it's so close, but I think by the slimmest of margins, it goes, because I have a soft spot for it, because it's what got me into Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Voyager.
Voyager 3, that's a good choice.
Strange New Worlds. Picard. And honorary mention to Lower Decks.
Lower Decks?
Yeah, they're like that close, in my opinion.
That's a solid list.
They're very close. And I also have to mention Enterprise because...
It's technically old Trek.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Enterprise is... I'm sad that it got cut short.
You know,
the end of Enterprise was fucking shit. But otherwise... Oh, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry.
You know, Archer and them guys, it took a long time getting from there to here.
Yeah, but... The end was just so bad that it kind of ruined it. But otherwise, it was such a good track.
So you got TNG, DS9, Voyager, New Worlds, Lower Decks. I think
Picard.
Oh, Picard.
Picard, and then Lower... like.
Okay, so Picard 5, and then honorable mention Lower Decks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Adam, what is your top 5?
I mean, it's going to be similar, as I'm sure a lot of people. So TNG, Deep Space Nine, and then I would go OG because I started with OG.
Okay,
like that was my entry into it. My parents, were totally into it. That was my first go, and actually, more controversial. Coworker Elaine Yee agrees with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
Ooh,
and I we can get into that too.
Ooh, wow.
That like.
We've done movie rankings too.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, the like the TV shows. Like once again, I haven't watched the newer one, so I can't fit them in there. But
yeah,
the of the controversial Star Trek picks, mine would probably be like I actually like Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
Here's my controversial pick. Are you ready?
Okay.
Wrath of Khan's a terrible movie. The Wrath of Khan is a terrible movie. Yeah. Cinematically. It's a mess. Storytelling, it's an absolute mess. It reminds me of the original Mad Max, which is also a theatrical mess.
Something endearing about it.
There's something campy about it. There's something a little endearing. But even if you go, oh, it was another time, it was a little, you know, movies were campy back then.
It had 3D graphics.
Right. But, but you know, OG Trek was campy. Even if you compare it to other media of the time, it does not hold up. From a storytelling, a theatrical standpoint, it does not hold up.
Okay.
That's my controversy.
Disagree.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not on that boat. But you know, to each their own. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Khan. What, you really?
Man,
really?
Wow. I think Wrath of Khan is a terrible movie.
Huh. Have you always thought that,
yes.
Or is it just
really? No? Always.
Okay, I have to give you credit. You stick to your opinion.
Yeah.
Right. Also, I don't know if the mic's picking me up, so.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I
can see the waveform, so you're good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my revised top 5 is probably going to be DS9 still number 1. But it's not
wrong with that.
But it's not the stranglehold it used to be. Like before, my opinion was DS9 was way, maybe not way above TNG, but way above everything else.
And you're about to say Picard?
I'm about to say Picard.
Wow.
I'm about to say Picard, too.
Wow.
And you know what else I'm going to say? Strange New Worlds 3. TNG 4.
Wow.
How's that for a controversial take?
Wow.
Because, and this is not a dig on TNG. It really is not. This is...
I mean, there's plenty to dig.
There's plenty to dig. And,
first season.
And, and Strange New Worlds is still in season 2. It could still nosedive.
Mm-hmm.
But Strange New Worlds has not had a bad episode yet. It is
every single one's been a banger.
It is 22 episodes in, and every single one has been a hit from the word go.
One of the weakest ones, I think, was like episode 3 or 4 mm-hmm. of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was a good episode.
Right. They did a musical, and it was amazing.
That was, honestly,
they fell out of my couch.
Right? they've done a musical, and it was amazing. They did essentially what was a holodeck episode, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Where they all played fantasy characters.
Yeah.
They were taken over by this being who mind controlled them into recreating a book. And it was heartfelt and it was with enthusiasm and it made total sense within the universe as
and
well.
The crossover episode.
Oh, the Lower Decks crossover.
Those failed so bad.
My God.
That was so good. It was so good.
Yeah. They did a crossover episode with Lower Decks and the amount of references they snuck into that episode.
Oh.
Like, sounds like I'm missing out.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, Strange New Worlds 2, Picard 2, because season 1 does pull it down. It is not the greatest season, but it's definitely watchable.
Probably not the worst first season.
It's definitely not the worst season by any stretch of the imagination. But season 2, B+. Season 3, best season in Star Trek history, bar none.
A++.
A++ across the board. So yeah, there's my controversial pick. Like TNG has fallen to 4th.
That's
because
wild.
Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds are that good.
Okay.
Or sorry, New Worlds and Picard are that good.
At some point TNG was your number 2.
Right.
How close to number 1 is TNG versus Picard? Or at the time.
I've had some time to marinate on this and TNG is still very much at that fourth position, and now the gap is very wide between it and everything else as well.
I would argue that TNG is the quote unquote quintessential Star Trek.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may not be the best Trek, but it is quintessential mm-hmm. Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's that sort of idea of discovery. And not just discovery of the stars, but discovery of the self. Like, Data's entire, like, character development was just, like, all the way even into Generations of, oh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So good. So good.
Yes. So yeah, that's my top four anyway. Voyager probably take, I don't know, I'm going to go Lower Decks at 5 and then Voyager at 6.
Wow. So, yeah, a lot of the new stuff.
Yeah.
In
when
the top.
To that middle tier, it's so hard.
It is so hard.
Because they're all like.
Because well, here's my opinion of Voyager is the highs are really freaking good, but you've also got some. You've got Fairhaven. You've got. I mean, for every year of hell, you've got a Kes episode, and so it bounces back and forth
okay.
so much.
We need to just do the S through F tier chart.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I would argue that probably the worst check for me was the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Was the worst. Easily. By
no. Do you know what the worst is? Whatever Paramount is doing with Short Treks.
We don't talk about that in this house.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so there's whatever the fuck Short Trek. Like, that's not even, like, that's like NA.
Yeah.
Right?
Chicken and
fellas,
how's everything going?
I think
they were fantastic.
I'll probably grab another one of these. Yeah.
We do have a super chat to get to. Elmas sends Ooh. Over $20. Thank you very much. Longtime fan of the show.
Wow, $20.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
That's how my people.
Yeah,
roll.
I've got that's a $20 in my pocket.
I kind of want to show off to Adam right now. That and I want to make a buck. Show Adam how we roll. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. I'm throwing out a challenge.
I had no idea that's how you do it over on Craft.
This is how we do over
Dang,
on Craft.
Okay. Yeah.
Elmo says, first round on me, Voyager is the best, but Strange New Worlds is a damn good follow.
Thank you.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
This coffee and cream is actually pretty damn good.
Yes.
Are you about the coffee one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Coffee?
It's good. Yeah.
Is it coffee?
It's more sweeter. I thought it would be a little bit more, like, but it's good. Yeah.
The Holy Hell is really good.
Yeah, I had that one last time. I had just about everything on the list last time I was here. At least a 4-ouncer.
Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm a fan.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've heard of it. It's a good thing. Well, I just feel like I'm missing out on the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I mean, I heard all the stuff about the first season of Picard,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, okay, well, you know, I'll get to it when it's all over, I guess.
Right, right.
And maybe just skip some of it, but I had no idea.
Yeah, no.
They did, oh God, what was the character's name? Seven of Nine, Rescued from the Borg,
mm-hmm.
male
Ichab.
Ichab.
Do you remember Ichab from Voyager?
So dirty.
Mm. Yeah.
They did him so dirty.
They did. They did.
Oh. I liked Hugh's character arc. I think Hugh, I don't think that they should kill them, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, they did Ichab and Hugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elmo sends another $5 from Tech Tech Potato at Craft Computing. Can you ask George to check his Discord DM? So, yeah. George, check already your Discord DMs. Skull, $25. Thank you very much, Skull. By the way, dang. Skull, longtime mod.
Dang.
Yeah, $25. So, Elmo has first round. I got second.
Holy crap.
Cosworth sends over $5. Can we just appreciate a bit more that AMD 10 years ago had sold its real estate to stay afloat, and now look at them.
Actually, yeah, we were talking about it because we streamed my podcast, The Full Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished our stream earlier. We had some AMD folks on. Patrick Kennedy from Serve the Home was on. Mark Hawkman, my senior editor, also at PC World, my coworker. He made that same kind of comment. He's like, I'm not used to AMD being in this position.
Mm-hmm.
Also felt that way with Ryzen, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like early Ryzen was like, oh, it's a lot of cores, but there was still first-gen Ryzen had some teething pains. Yeah.
There was memory controller issues. There was
Red Ripper was.
It was exciting,
yeah.
But it was also like,
what original Ryzen was, man, if we can get our stuff together, Intel, you're on notice.
Yeah.
Threadripper was a shot across the bow, because this is we're about to destroy your entire HEDT lineup in one shot. And they did.
Well, actually, no. I would say that they did it in the second gen. Not the 200, not the 2000 series, but the 3000 series Threadripper was just
first
shotgun straight to Intel.
First gen Threadripper, 16 cores, $1,000. Intel's 18 core, that was 5 to 8% faster, was $1,800.
Yeah, that's fair.
They came in within 10% of the performance for half the cost.
So the issues with Threadripper had more to do with the memory and the IO.
What happened? $500 in the chat.
That's how we roll.
What?
That's how we roll.
Okay, skip straight to that one.
I'm not even done yet. So let's see. TerraPup, $5. I now got into... I am now getting into Babylon 5. I missed a lot back in the late 90s. Vince says $6.90. Nice.
What?
And Zachary Solis says, this is how we roll for initiative. 500.
What? 15. Roll to 15.
Yep.
15 for initiative.
All right. I am humbled. I don't even know why I'm here.
Fucking cheers.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. We're not drinking enough beer, I guess.
We're going to need some more. We need some more of these. Here we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got $500 in beer money to spend now.
Wow. Yeah.
Should we start talking about nerd drag racing?
Mm-hmm. We can do that. By the way, introduce yourself.
I mean, people probably know who you are, but maybe they don't know who you are.
Yeah. So,
my name is Jordan. I'm from StorageReview.com. I do a lot
StorageReview.com.
StorageReview.com.
StorageReview.com. Hey, there you go.
I do a lot of the lab rat work, coding, edgy, really like corner case benchmark testing, putting 2 petabytes of flash in a single 2U box with 512 threads and 256 core Bergamos, stuff like that. That's what I get into. Finding those really weird areas where stuff starts to break. Software breaks down, and even hardware starts to break down. A couple weeks ago, I was working on a project. We did a HBA card. It's a PCI Express bifurcation out the back, and then it goes into a JBOF, just a bunch of flash. And we found that when you start plugging in the drives back into the server itself, you run out of PCI lanes, things start disconnecting as you put drives in. So when we first powered it up, we had no mouse and keyboard. We had only video out. We had no Ethernet.
You lost
chipset
drivers.
It started
eating chipset lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So the only
way
to, so we had to find the balance in order to at least be able to talk to it over Ethernet to keep that much stuff in there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Skull says he's one of us.
He's one of us.
You. Yeah.
A nerd.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yes. Cheers, mate. Thanks for the 500.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're doing a lot of weird, edgy stuff, but also more the traditional enterprise reviews. So, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jordan, storagereview.com. Go give him a like, a read, a sub, a
we're
click.
On YouTube,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, you're on. Yeah, he's on YouTube.
And TikTok.
And TikTok. An impressive TikTok. And Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tickiest of talks.
Yeah, Jordan's our resident Gen Zer. So.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
He's the TikTok 24? Guy.
Wait, who?
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even manage the TikTok account. Brian does, and he's like 60 or something.
That's even better.
Grandpa TikTok.
Yeah.
Wait, am I the oldest?
Damn,
oldest here?
I have not disclosed exactly how old I am.
Okay.
Boy.
Should I type it in?
Sure.
And you say if you're higher or lower?
Yeah, just hit your birth year real quick. And you got me beat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not by much. All right. But you got me beat.
But I'm the elder statesman here, mm-hmm. I guess. Not the smartest. But at least I got you in age.
Oh, you wise one.
What about that?
Coffee and Cynicism sends over a $10 super chat. Brave Strange New Worlds, I'm assuming, has been great, but TNG will always have a place in my heart. And I fully agree with that. And like I said, the gap between TNG and everything else still is still very wide. Like, Enterprise had its moments, but also really fell flat. Discovery, we don't talk about Discovery in this house. Like,
uh-oh.
Discovery, so we're all like traditional Star Trek nerds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Discovery was the first one.
Discovery's guide, Wrath of Khan. What the?
I agree with him on that, though. I do. I will.
This man can keep the microphone.
Hot take on Discovery. I have girls, and it was the first Star Trek that they were willing to sit down and actually watch with me.
Hmm.
So I think it has a place in a market. We may not have necessarily been that. It was kind of like, you know, recent movies about dolls that came out where it wasn't for a certain audience.
I do agree that Discovery wasn't necessarily the worst TV show.
Yes.
It was not a good Star Trek.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, where it really falls flat for a lot of the core audience is... like I said, they were trying to CSI it a little bit too much. They were trying to go to Kiefer Sutherland and whatnot with the whole thing. And Picard did it, you know, 1,000 times better.
Oh.
But it just didn't work for Discovery with the story that they were telling.
Right. It was, the cinematics were pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The visuals are amazing in Discovery.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot complain about the budget.
This might be a hot take. But for the time, TNG had really good effects.
Yes. It really did.
Oh, yeah. Well, TNG is S-tier.
I know some people may say, oh, TNG, it looks so old. Honestly, no. The effects nowadays still hold up. Like,
yeah.
To me,
yeah.
Enterprise has worse effects than TNG. They haven't held up as well.
If you think TNG had bad effects, you are not familiar with any television effect from the late 80s, early 90s.
There's something to be said for doing so much in camera.
Yeah.
The prop department on that was top notch, and doing those types of things and doing them in camera like that is what makes that.
So,
and when you get to Voyager, which is right just after, and it started getting more digital, and then you get to like Enterprise, and it's just super digital.
Voyager? Yeah,
it's where that stuff starts to break down. But hold on, one second. It looks really good if you watch it on an old CRT.
Yeah.
But if you start watching it on a modern display,
it really
calms down. So it's a product of its time.
In action, what's interesting is that even, I can't remember if it was TOS the movie or Wrath of Khan, that the shot where Spock is falling from the mountain and they have the camera panning down, that was actually not done on a green screen as far as I know. That was done like in the actual...
Yeah. That's the Hans Gruber falling off. The,
yeah. Like, it was, for the time...
Three, that
was
two, actually, snap.
The fact that they were able to, like, keep the camera, like, on Spock as he was falling, for the time, absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I came over here to talk about nerd drag racing, but Star Trek's always a good topic.
Star Trek's right? always a good sidetrack, right?
Even if that was the original.
Did you go back in? I was going to get another beer.
Someone waved him off.
Yeah. And don't wave him off when I got less than two gulps left.
And $500 to burn?
That's just bad form.
We have a lot of beer. Yeah. Let me see if we
can grab somebody.
I'm good.
We do have somebody who's trying to guess your age. It says he says you're 21.
Ah.
Yeah. Jeff is right on the money.
At least 21.
Yeah. Oh, no, you have
no,
to be.
No, your age is a multiple of one?
That is very true.
It took me a second.
Yeah.
Storage, $5 from American Costworth. Storage Review sent me one of my first NAS from a Reddit post way back in the day. Still kicking and logging my Honda Ridgeline now versus my Subaru.
Nice. I'm glad to see you there. We love giving back. We get so much hardware that we just can't even keep all of it. We actually did just do a big giveaway. We gave away two brand new Dell T560s a couple months ago. So
nice.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We love to awesome. Give back, especially the home lab guys. That's where innovation starts, really. And when you get into the hobby and you start figuring it out, we see a lot of people who are, you know, they're really into the home lab and they're doing it at home, but they also do it for work. And that's, you know, it's a career growth right there.
Yeah.
There's a big trajectory.
I mean, that's why I got into IT, is I was given a couple of computers at a younger age and figured out how to put them together and how not to put them together.
And next thing you know, someone thinks you're an IT pro and you actually do know it.
And it's spawned a career. Yeah. It's exactly right.
And I know Davina. Hi, Davina. Are we showing up for our streams?
Yeah, I don't recognize Davina, so welcome. Yeah. Come hang out. Have
a beer.
Crack a beverage of your choice.
Oh, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. What do you think Lisa Sue's drinking right now?
Oh.
Champagne.
Yeah. Somebody asked earlier.
No, I saw the Prosecco. Stock ticker today.
Oh.
Prosecco.
So somebody asked earlier in our Discord if she was going to join us for lunch. the press lunch. And I was like, No.
So I ran into Lisa today.
Oh.
Literally.
Like literally.
Physically. Walking through the showcase during one of the breakout sessions, I did not know she was coming up behind me and made a slight jog to my left to look at something and got a nice clip.
Well, this will be your last AMD event.
Yeah,
I think the phrase that came out of my mouth at the time had something to do with farts or sharting at the same time, too. So it was a really great impression that I left.
Never trust a fart. Oh, excuse me, doctor.
Excuse me, doctor.
It's like, this guy? Get this guy out of here.
I promptly left the room.
Yeah,
the only sane thing to do.
Anyone who was asking if Lisa would be at the tech lunch, she seems like the more approachable between her and Jensen and Pat Gelsinger. Like, if you take the three,
I don't know, Pat seems like I ran into him at Innovation and like he didn't really have that much of a mob around him.
You know, that's
like he was definitely
I'm gonna backtrack that.
Yeah. I actually feel like he's just like definitely can just hang one of us where Lisa's just like, oh wow, okay man, should I say hi? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's
on his
jacket.
On his pedestal and you're like,
yeah.
He doesn't hear me.
Hi.
How much money you make today?
More than you buy a million of these jackets today.
Yeah.
No, see the person that we see on the cameras isn't actually Jensen. Jensen's just the leather jacket that has possessed
It is gain sentience.
That's a great theory.
No, actually, I like that. I like that. Oh, another super chat.
Another super chat. Gameeks sends over $5. Thank you so much. How about a hot take on Star Trek book franchise?
Man, I read back in my day, younger Adam definitely read a lot of Star Trek books. And actually, I had to look it up on GOG recently or within the past couple of years.
Uh-huh.
I played a Star Trek point and click adventure game back in the 90s.
Final Unity?
Yeah. No. Oh, God. I forgot the name of it again.
I played a Final Unity. I have the big box for that one too.
Ooh, oh, you have the box. Okay.
I do.
Let me.
I don't have many big boxes in my collection.
The Destiny. I've read some Star Trek books, but the Destiny series and the Prometheus series.
were very good.
The Dominion War series.
I've read some of them, not all of them.
It's good.
Really good.
Oh, it's good.
I think I've read like book four.
Oh, Judgment Rights.
Judgment Rights.
Okay.
That was the one. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah. The Judgment Rights was a man. Yeah. Yep. Oh, I love that screenshot. Yep.
No, I liked Final Unity because it placed you into a TNG episode. It had a little mystery to it. It was a point-and-click adventure game.
Okay.
But it had multiple endings depending on what you were doing and what choices you made. But like, yeah, like a 1992 DOS game.
Yeah. Back when computers were real.
Yeah. Yeah. None of this AI.
Yeah, none of this AI stuff.
So speaking of, what did we see at AMD today? I think that's a great segue as any.
If you want to talk about the AI PC from AMD.
Oh, we have one.
Yeah.
We have a Hotpoint to show.
Who'd you steal that from?
Ryzen 8000.
This is Ryzen 8000.
Yeah. I can confirm that this is Ryzen 8000 chip. More beers.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I will take, which one did I want? It was the triple IPA.
I'll take a
double IPA.
The 22.
Beer Squatch.
That one only comes in a 12 ounce bus.
Done.
Okay. I have a response to a commenter.
I will do the Black Dragon, please.
12, 16, 22.
Let's go 12 on that one.
Well, it's a gauntlet to you in response to a commenter.
Okay. So who was the commenter?
So Coffee and Cynicism says, Jeff, are you planning to take a page from Storage Review and hot rod your HL15? All I have to say is 60 terabyte SSDs.
Right.
Good luck.
No, he's got me beaten that one, but... I have you beaten CUDA, so
you got 6,000 ADAs.
Nice.
Okay. Well, maybe we could have an HL15 fight.
I do have on my desk right now something that you probably don't. I've got a 4,000 SFF ADA.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've got the little guy.
Okay. I got 4 H100s.
Okay. That's
See,
not
we,
okay.
We can trade blows.
My cards can do DX12.
maybe we should have a Home Lab 15 showdown.
We should have an HL15. What can you cram in that case? Because you can't cram any of those cards into that case.
That's what you think.
Really?
Wait.
That sounds like a challenge.
How big is the HL? So
it's
a 4U, but it's fairly narrow because of where the fans are mounted at.
It'll take a full length card.
Will it take a full length card?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to try that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Ryzen 8000. I literally have one in my hand.
It's got an AI in there.
It does.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get
in
to it.
AI.
Yeah. If we smashed it down. Oh, yeah, okay. I get
God
it. Taking a bite.
It.
Yeah. Maybe take a bite.
I got to do the AI cut this thing. That was Ryzen 8000. Remarkably similar to Ryzen 7000.
You know, we were sitting in a briefing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they haven't mentioned the word refresh this whole time. They've been kind of prancing around it.
Yeah,
it did get mentioned once.
It did in a Q&A session. Anyway, so they announced a number of different products, and we'll get to the MI300 stuff, the Instinct stuff here in just a second. But they did announce a new 8000 series Ryzen mobile, so the 8040 mobile series.
Mm-hmm.
They have some new SKUs. There's the 8495. Or 8945
numbers.
8945
HS.
HS.
Yes.
The 8845 HS.
Yes.
The 8840 HS and the 8840U.
8840U.
For the 9.
Right.
And then I can't remember everything.
Yeah, I was about to say, keep going. You got all these numbers, man.
So if you look spec for spec, by the way, they said all of these will include Zen 4 cores, RDNA 3. GPU and CDNA NPUs. XCNA.
XCNA 1.
Excuse me.
So developed from Xilinx's AI engine
development. XDNA NPUs.
Yeah.
If you know those SKUs from Ryzen 7000 series, just replace the 7 with an 8. They're literally identical. Yeah. They're identical clock speeds. They're identical core counts. They're identical compute units for both CPU and GPU. They're identical TDPs, everything across the board, maybe a couple variations in like base clock. I saw a couple that went from like 3.9 to 4.3. What has changed is the NPU, so the neural processor, that has been clocked up 60%.
You can overclock an NPU, I guess.
You can overclock an NPU, in theory.
Which actually somebody did ask.
Yes.
I think it was Mark Hockman, my coworker over at PC World, asked if you can overclock, and they said it's not available to the consumer yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As of now. They haven't turned on those particular knobs and dials to be able to overclock an NPU. So Ryzen 7000 kind of made waves because it was the first CPU, APU on the market with integrated AI. So the NPU enabled. 8000 does take that up a notch, but if you're looking for more performance than 7000 series, it doesn't exist. No amount of enhancing your Zen 3 without a die shift, without architecture changes, without anything else.
There could be some very small VF curve improvements, but that's like sort of scraping the bottom of that barrel.
If you watched the podcast that I was on with Adam yesterday, the Full Nerd podcast, which should again totally subscribe to,
over on PC World's channel,
right? Then you will know that I was also critical of Intel calling the 14 series Raptor Lake refresh a new series of CPUs in general, for much the same reasons.
Though I will say AMD has explained why they're doing this naming scheme the way they are. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the right call,
right?
But they have previously stated, hey, every year that fourth digit, is going to change. So
yeah,
2023 was Ryzen 7000.
Mm-hmm.
2024 is Ryzen 8000. Regardless of anything, they're always going to change that fourth digit.
It's that third digit that you need to pay attention to. So the 8 is model year 2024.
Yeah, it just correlates with year. And this is only on mobile.
This is only on mobile.
That's also why it's a little like, come on.
That second digit is going to be tier of CPU. So it's going to be 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, etc.
Classic.
8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0. that third digit is the one that's really going to come into play, because that tells you if it's a modern generation chip. So a 4 stands for a Zen 4 CPU. A 3 will stand for a Zen 3. A 2 will stand for a Zen 2. And also means the architecture and potentially even the manufacturing process is slightly different. I'm not necessarily in favor of this naming scheme, but at the same time, it makes sense. And as long as you know it, then
I mean, it is funny. When they first talked to the press about this naming scheme, this was actually months ahead of them revealing it. And they gave us a decoder ring. I don't know why I didn't bring it.
Yeah, you should have brought the decoder.
I should have brought the decoder ring. And it took us a while, because I think the problem that the decoder ring gave us was that people were just sitting there being like, oh, well, what if I do this? What if I do that? And they're like, no. This is to decode, not to build your own.
Yeah, this isn't a la carte.
Yeah. You're like, well, if I got a Ryzen 9 with Zen 2, but it's a high wattage part, and they're like, no. It's not that these combinations can be made. It's more like you look at the but actually, I mean, a year later or so, we actually do understand what those numbers mean.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean it's right or wrong. It just means, like, at least we have learned it.
And at least we know exactly what's inside.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this might be a hot take, but unlike what the Intel slides that were accidentally put up say, it having the core architecture in the name, I think is actually a good thing.
Yes.
Because now you can say, well, then they can fudge it. It's like, yeah, but look at Intel, right?
I really think it's that first digit that is really throwing people off, because you think bigger number better, then it's going to signify something, right? And it does on the desktop. That's the thing, is that AMD's trying to have their
KPU. But it even does that in GPUs. If you look one generation to the next, a 4000 series NVIDIA is not necessarily better than a 3000 series, depending on the tier that you buy. And so I get where AMD is coming from. What's that?
Don't get me started on server.
It's a scalable naming scheme.
How many pluses?
Yeah.
All of them.
Scalable gen or our third and fourth generation Intel Xeon scalable processors, which have bronze, silver, and gold, and platinum.
And letters, symbols.
Right. All of which are intended for completely different markets, but we're not going to tell you which ones.
Yeah. Suggested.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say they were only talking about the Zen 4 parts.
Yes.
Now, yeah, somebody did ask about others, and they're like, oh, maybe we'll have other things to talk about. Also, no HX parts.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, right now it's just a straight refresh of the HS and the U parts, but only the Zen 4, and I think they were only the 88. I think there was an 86 on there as well.
But
so they went all the way down to the 86s. 85s actually.
85, were. Yeah.
So a certain, if
the,
I remember,
yeah, the 8540U. That's right.
A certain U of the Ryzen 5 that I cannot remember off the top of my head at this very moment, I believe has the MPU. Yeah. Now the two lower ones that they showed.
At least they're not pulling an Epic and going 7H12.
Ha. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at least we still have the decoder and there's no letters involved until the very end. Yeah. The very end still tells you something.
But
I think they still have the numbers or the letters in the Epic SKUs for the apps.
Yes, and the P's for the single processor.
Actually, that might be at the end now.
Yeah.
So I okay.
Well, if you do think about it though, it kind of makes sense if you stop to think about it. As much as I would love to hear about other, thank you. Oh wow, that is beautiful.
Oh. You gotta hold that one up.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Look at that gradient.
He's got a full, like, nitro going on.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, Black Dragon, yeah. That's their nitro stout.
Yeah. So...
good stuff.
I think it makes sense for them to talk about these parts now.
Yes.
Because these are the parts with the NPU in it. Yes. I think what is going to happen is the HX parts, probably not going to have it. Anything further down the stack, you know, with maybe Zen 3 or if they have Zen 2 still, it's not going to have the NPU. So correct. This is an AI event. This is why they're talking about those parts.
Yeah.
I think so. It makes sense.
Yeah. You're going to see a common theme, especially as we get into CES. Just about every company, I mean, they've been doing it for the last 6 months anyway, but every company, especially at CES, will be announcing some form of an AI product.
Actually, my beer said powered by AI. Weird.
Weird.
I'm just kidding. No.
You can't get that kind of gradient without AI.
Honestly. I would honestly believe that's the point.
Yeah.
With how much AI...
Actually, you know what? I did try that AI, that Coca-Cola that was flavored by AI. And I was like, you know, okay, that's a good use for AI.
Yeah.
Have it come up with a Coke flip.
How was it?
It was not great. It was fine. I'd have it again. But, it, you know, in terms of Coke flavors, it's like...
It was the Dolly of Coke.
Yeah, it's like C minus D plus.
It had seven fingers. And
Yeah. I was like, I mean, it was drinkable for sure. Mm-hmm. So at least that's a good start. But anyway.
Yeah.
AI. It's everywhere.
So if you're looking for a significant uptick in performance with Ryzen 8000 mobile parts, you're not going to find it at least in the first half of 2024. Who knows what they'll release later with some potential Zen 5 on the horizon, but I think that's going to be Computex or later at the very earliest.
Oh, yeah. Computex
I said
maybe.
Very
yeah,
early.
Yeah.
Maybe at... Microsoft's AI PC event, which is sometime near Computex-ish.
Yeah.
I think
maybe.
It's
like June. May, June. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Microsoft was on stage today.
They were. Yeah. They were.
Twice even.
Yep. Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about the big boys. Let's go ahead and talk about the MI300.
Oh, you've got one on you, right?
No. Yeah, where's that one in your pocket? Bro.
Sorry, AMD gave me that one.
I
will say that, they did have some around. We had some on our podcast, and they were being watched like a hawk.
I was the first one that showed it, too.
Yeah. 300 AM, did a video and walked halfway across the room and went down the server lineup.
Yeah.
And within 10 seconds, I was swarmed by people being like, do you have the chip? Dude, I'm shooting a video.
Yeah. Jacob was shooting a video and was swarmed by like three PR people from AMD. I keep calling you the wrong. I did that the other night, too. I did. Yeah. Jordan. I don't know why Jacob. Maybe it's the beard. I don't know.
Looks like a Jacob.
Anyway, Jordan was shooting a video with the deleted MI300A, and He walked away from the camera.
It wasn't just deleted, but is it also the one that was shaved down?
It was deleted and etched.
No, not the
Oh, you know, okay, you had the.
It was.
Yeah, please.
So I'm shooting. We were shooting a couple short videos for social media, and we were kind of going down the lineup of servers, and I had to like redo a take. So it ended up taking a handful of minutes to complete, but they couldn't find the chip. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm surrounded by AMD PR engineering groups, and they're like, "You have it? Oh God, okay. We thought someone took it because." And I heard this in anecdotally that apparently at some trade shows, some things have
There's been a couple trade shows that things have walked away recently.
At CES, somebody stole it was not functional, but somebody stole a Grace Hopper.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, really?
Supercomputing.
Yes.
Supercomputing. Wow. Yeah.
Someone stole a Grace Hopper from NVIDIA. It was a non-functional.
Those are not small.
No.
No.
But wow. I mean, one of the Grace Hopper modules
that's ballsy.
Is gone. At
4 o'clock?
Yeah.
Gone at 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
right.
I think Jeff has some video somewhere of me stealing an entire tray of MI300.
I do.
So that'll go live at some point.
Anyway, they did show us some delitted samples. I got to see because Matt, we all know Matt.
PR for AMD.
Yeah, PR for AMD. He pulled me over in the back and he goes, "Yo, I just got given this. You want to see it?" Yeah. And so he pulls it off and he pulls off an AMD MI300A. I immediately reach for my camera or for my phone and he goes, "No pictures."
It's like, put that away.
No. Yeah. No. We were told we could take low resolution pictures. And then he goes, "What's your camera?" And I said, "It's only a 12 megapixel." And he goes, "No."
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I had like a flip phone, he might have let
me. yeah, feature phone.
Right, yeah. Right. But no, they were watching these things like a hawk. So AMD announced essentially two parts today for their Instinct lineup. There is the MI300X, which we pretty much already knew most of the things about it. We knew it was a massive improvement over the MI200 series. It's their new AI chip. Again, if you're looking for graphics, it uses their graphics cores, but heavily modified and no longer using graphics APIs at all.
It does not output an image.
Yeah, it's not even doesn't output an image. It is OpenCL only. There's not even DirectX or Vulkan or anything else like that.
And they were excited to compare it to the competitors.
To NVIDIA's Hopper, to the H100. And I've learned to read through the corporate BS, as I'm sure a lot of us have.
It takes time, but you can get it.
You can get it. You can look at the slides and go, something's not right there. They were showing a 30 to 40% uplift in... And I'm not even going to say like specific tasks because that sounds like I'm not giving enough credit. They're showing between a 30 and 40% uplift in a lot of tasks over the H100, both performance per watt and raw performance. Now the question is going to come to scalability. And if you want to put, 500 of those into a rack and then 12 racks together, will that scale as well as NVIDIA's solution does with the H100? That kind of remains to be seen. And they were a little dodgy when asked certain questions around that.
But they did bring on Ethernet luminaries to talk about interconnectivity.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And I think that brings up the most interesting thing. The Infinity Here's Copper.
Your terrible picture in picture.
Yes.
The slide deck.
Show this now.
Yes, we can legally show the slides. So. Between a 10 and 40% improvement in almost every task that they threw at AI.
And that was just AI. MI300A, which in my opinion was the star of the show.
We'll get to that one. I was getting there.
Sorry, I didn't know if you get there.
So what we found out about AI-related tasks. So if you're talking about learning an algorithm or ingesting performance or, I'm losing the adjective. Training. Training is roughly the same speed as a Hopper 1-to-1. So if you give it a 70 billion or 170 billion parameter training set, it trains that data in roughly the same time as an H100. But when it comes to inference of that data, when it comes to actually give me something out of it, it's between 10 and 40% faster. And
which is not nothing.
It's not nothing. And like I said, I've learned to read through some corporate BS. I have some thoughts on Intel once the NDA lifts from my presentation on Thursday. But I didn't pick up much with my nose that told me that's not going to be true. And I kind of, is there at least a somewhat consensus there?
So you weren't there because mm-hmm. you came today. But yesterday, there was at some of the, press briefings, so the pre-announcement, there was a question of, for the inference, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
What exactly are you measuring for the
I know you can't read this because the brightness is way up.
But if I remember correctly, it's between 40 and 60%.
40 and 60%.
And I believe exactly it was inference.
Yeah.
Slide that's really powerful.
So this is based on Bloom and Llama 2, which are two of the most popular. And they're not the super tiny models either. I can't say anything about the previous one, but I saw a presentation recently that we're using like the smallest models possible to try to compare. These were 170 billion reference integer.
And the question of what are you actually measuring came up.
Right.
And that's very important. What they were measuring was not just time to first token, but time basically to completion versus the two.
Yeah.
And that.
Not first response, total response.
Yeah. Which there's arguments both ways, but you very much could say that is the correct way to measure because mm-hmm. that's what the end user will see
right
in the end.
Right.
So, So what they said was accurate, which I have no reason to doubt.
I wish we could put this up on stream right now. I'm going to try and get this for you guys.
Let me just read some of
it. It's the parody slide.
Okay. So compared to the H100, and this is the HGX platform. So this is the what are they called? The SXM4 or what are they on now?
SXM5.
SXM5. That's right. So this is the socketable, not PCI Express, straight NVLink. Lunchbox. Yeah.
That's,
yeah. There you go.
That's the term I'm going with.
There you go. I think that's a great term. H100 HGX versus the MI300X. The H100 has a max of 640 gigabytes of HBM3 memory. The 300X will have 1.5 terabytes of HBM3. But it's not just the capacity, it's also the bandwidth, because HBM is a full mesh array of memory. The more memory you add, the faster it gets. So it has three times the memory capacity, which means it also has about 40% more, 30% more, overall memory bandwidth, 10.4 petaflops versus 7.9. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
Yes. 10.4 versus 7.9. So your memory bandwidth is through the chart, and they did that with basically the same latency.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yeah. So speaking of latency, if you're willing to go back slightly.
Sure.
So MI300X or MI300.
I'm actually doing last call for everything. Do you guys want to do another round of beer for anybody else?
I'll do coffee and cream. Again.
Coffee and cream?
Actually, really.
12, 15, or 20 chances, sir.
Let's do 12, please. 12.
I think I'm going to hold with this one.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So back to MI300.
That's right. We got about 20 minutes to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. The way that it's four
at 9,
IO
I'm
dies.
Not the bar staff late.
Yeah. It's four IO dies. And if you go from one, so let's say you're on, so there's four quadrants. If you're at the quadrant here, and then you jump to either of the ones to the left or above and or below, you get a 30% latency hit.
Yeah.
And if you go to the one that's two hops away, so diagonal, because there's no all at all, it's a 60% latency hit.
Yeah.
Which may sound like a lot, and it is, however, GPUs are less latency sensitive than a CPU is.
Yes.
Because they care more. I'm not saying that they're not latency sensitive. They are, but they're less latency sensitive.
And they still have that shared L2 with 256.
So that's the L3.
L3,
and that would actually factor into the... it's not really an L3.
Okay.
It's what would be referred to as a memory side cache.
Yes.
So it's more...
if you're, it's complicated.
This is why it's great to have people smarter than you are.
But basically, if you evict something from the, not quite, there's, okay, there's some complexity here that I'm going to lose in trying to talk about it.
The latency sounds extreme for the
we're talking about the scale of microseconds.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, we're talking about nanoseconds.
I was gonna say when we're talking about nano and femtoseconds, the latency hit is not that extreme, especially when you consider the overall bandwidth of if this load is being done on this quadrant alone, it's still gonna obliterate anything else that's currently on the market.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But surprisingly enough, the MI300X was not the most exciting product they announced.
Speaking of latency, they were talking about something that was going to solve some of that latency.
So, if you were waiting for APUs to finally get serious, AMD has now created...
I feel like you're excited for that one.
AMD has now created the most insane APU ever in the M300i.
Oh my goodness.
A.
A for APU.
I said M300. MI300A. Yeah.
How many of those craft beers have you had today?
Not enough.
Yeah.
So
I'm still upright.
This is an interesting concept because NVIDIA went the route of ARM and throwing a bajillion ARM cores at it, which is not technically out yet, but we know everything about Grace, I think. I don't know actually what I can and can't speak to on this one, so I'm going to keep it high level.
So this is more a competitor with Grace Hopper.
Yeah. With the Grace stuff, they went ARM and they stuck a bajillion cores at it, and they're really good. They're really good high single threaded performance.
Mm-hmm.
AMD took a genericer approach with x86.
Yeah.
And they stuck a 24 cores with a Zen 4 their FMT too.
So here's the architecture: is they took their MI300X, and which is based up in quadrants. There's a quadrant of multiple CCDs of GPUs with so many compute units stacked in there, and then two HBM3 memory modules with 32 gigs. You slap four of those together, you've got the MI300X. What they've done is they've removed one quadrant from that die, and they've stuck on three Zen 4 chiplets along with another 32 gigs of HBM. And the memory pool is completely shared between the CPU and the GPUs.
One thing that I'm interested in, and
24 cores of Zen 4, and what was it, 228, 224, or something like that, of compute unit?
Yeah,
of,
it's obscene.
Yeah.
And
128 gigs of HBM3.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's the killer, right, is all the HBM, and it's all unified, too. So you've got that kind of... That's going to present a really interesting programming conundrum of rethinking. But I mean, they're already doing that with Grace Hopper, so it's not completely foreign.
Right.
Where my mind immediately goes is, okay, it's x86. What does this open up for, like, OS?
Yeah.
You couldn't otherwise do on GH. I mean, ARM, like, I daily a Windows ARM laptop, so I'm well aware of it. But
I'm sorry.
It's an X13S. I daily it when I'm on the road.
Oh. Yeah.
Because it gives me 2.5 days of battery life. And it has built-in 5G. hard to argue with the whole thing. It's a really nice, it's a Lenovo. I really love it. But yeah, no. ARM stuff, like, I really like it. I dig it. It has a place in the data center, actually. Ampere's been doing it forever. But going the x86 route presents some very interesting thought processes around, like, what you can do from a software and an OS perspective.
So let's talk about the platform as a whole right now, because I think that's also going to get lost in this. This is actually just a socketable APU processor.
Yeah, it's the same exact footprint as a EPYC chip.
It's EPYC Genoa. It's the SP5 socket. But
it's not pin compatible. You can't swap them.
Yeah,
which sucks. That would have been so cool.
Yeah. And the reason it's not pin compatible is it's more power delivery and fewer memory channels because all of the memory is on board the socket.
Yeah.
So you don't need to spread out over all your different lanes and everything. Four socket boards.
Yes.
That means 48, 96 cores of GPU, almost 1,000 cores of, or sorry, 96 cores of CPU, almost 1,000 compute units of GPU RDNA 3, and half a terabyte of HBM 3.
Weeps in NUMA node management.
Good God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really compelling, right? This is not, I don't think they want to do a lot of, do you even see a Grace Hopper comparison? I just only saw Hopper.
I only saw Hopper.
So they did do a one single Grace Hopper comparison, and it was simply a performance per watt comparison. Okay. And they were saying that they got 2x the performance per watt in HPC tasks to Grace Hopper, which that may sound extreme, but if you think about it from a, depending on what version of MI300A they were measuring, mm-hmm. either the air-cooled version, which is 550 watts, or the liquid-cooled version that can go up to 760 watts.
Right.
It, depending on what version you're comparing and what power Grace Hopper is pulling, which can pull, if I remember correctly, up to 1,000 watts.
Yeah.
It's, I think out of the box, it's 950, or no, it might go up to 950 with an out of the box power of up to 900.
Yeah.
But so depending on what you're doing, absolutely, I could see a 2x performance per watt improvement. No issues there.
So one thing too that
froze for a second. We are all looking down and thinking.
Yeah, thinking hard.
No, we're all good. Okay.
We're not froze. Okay.
Yeah.
Grace Hopper, like 1,000 watts on one of those chips. I mean, think of the size of about like an iPhone Max series.
Yeah.
That's the footprint of those. And that's, you're putting 1,000 watts out of that. That's insane.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Like, that's a space eater.
Yeah. So they had some multi-node servers shown off on the floor today. They had single 3U blades that held 8 MI300Xs. They had 4U servers that were 4 of the MI300As. Ready to go. Like these are ready to ship to customers.
Yeah. The Supermicros were ready. Yeah. The Dells are not the A's, but yeah, the Supermicro, I think there was a Gigabyte, and then there was an Azure stack one.
Yeah, Supermicro had an A that was ready to ship to customers, and I think Gigabyte did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Supermicro, I think was liquid cooled, the mm-hmm. Gigabyte was air cooled, and it was only the Gigabyte was also a four.
It
node.
Was four, yeah.
Yeah. And then the 8 node, though, was the Azure, was an 8 node.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get 8 of these suckers on liquid inside a single 2U chassis.
Yeah.
And that, like, rack power, holy cannoli.
Yes.
But density, I mean, they're not doing 8-way Grace Hopper.
Yeah, they're not doing 8-way Grace Hopper, although Grace Hopper does scale fairly well over NV switch.
Yes.
And like we know the upper threshold. Actually, we don't know the upper threshold of Grace Hopper.
Okay, so what's
for the sockets?
And
Grace Hopper can go up to 4 sockets. And oh boy.
But then NV switch out to
there's a yes and a no there.
Right. Yeah. Can scale out.
Well, there's a yes and a but. And NVIDIA, your marketing needs improvement here.
Yes.
So, okay, how do I explain this? So, Grace Hopper can scale up to 4P. And Grace Hopper has 2 SKUs that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
120 gigabytes on the... So, this is for the Grace memory. 120 gigabytes mm-hmm. or 480 gigabytes.
Yeah.
The 480 gigabytes mm-hmm. is kneecapped because they don't get very good memory bandwidth. Because
they're limited to that 7.4 or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, so they're limited to 64 LPDDR5 6400.
Oh, that's right.
So they actually get some... they're only getting about 340 gigabytes in stream mm-hmm. gigabytes per second in the stream memory bandwidth benchmark.
Yeah.
Grace Hopper, well, sorry, not even Grace Hopper. Genoa can get more than that.
Yeah.
So it ends up being it ends up being that
just getting a call.
Yeah.
Distracting it, all of
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Wow, mute your phone.
Yeah.
It's a live stream.
It was muted.
Good
is Lord.
This the first one?
I've done more than him.
So what ends up happening is because of that bandwidth, you actually can't saturate the GPU to CPU NVLink as much.
Right.
Because of just how that all works. And you end up getting a reduced bandwidth there. And it gets even worse is that when you put that 480 gigabyte version into a 4P mode, you actually cut the bandwidth even more mm-hmm. back to the CPU, basically in half again.
In the vein of bandwidth and in throughput conversation, AMD went all Ethernet for their interlinks.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what do you like? Hot takes, thoughts, concerns, phrases.
It's Ethernet, kind of.
Yeah.
I can't have a hot take because there's things that I can't talk about from the other camp.
Yep.
Yeah. So
we were both there.
Yeah, we were both there. Yeah. So I don't know if I have an opinion until the 14th. How's that?
Your opinion's withheld until
the 14th. My opinion was withheld until the 14th.
I have hands-on opinions.
Okay.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
We should do this again.
We should talk again on the 14th.
Is this Ethernet versus InfiniBand?
This is Ethernet versus InfiniBand versus NV switch versus AMD solution.
Yes.
Yeah, this is like four players. This is three players, four technologies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they all say, I'm the most open.
And yes.
Well, except for NVIDIA.
Except for NVIDIA,
which says, fuck you, buy our stuff.
Yeah. Well,
which is also a hard thing to argue with, but yeah.
Yes.
They're good.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of brings up a point of, there was a lot of comparison to H100, which is, I would say, knowledgeable to be a very long lead time in that you could gestate an entire human being before you could show up an H100 to your door.
Wait, why specifically?
Because it's that same amount of time that everybody knows.
Wait,
9 months.
Oh.
You're like, how do you know how long it takes?
I thought you were talking about ingesting a human being.
In like gestate.
I thought you were talking about
ingestate, not ingest.
Okay. Oh my god.
I know
it takes you that long to eat a human? What the hell?
Well, you gotta marinate them. There's a whole process.
Dry rub.
Yeah. Dry rub. You're not just gonna throw that on the grill. You gotta smoke that. Get the real flavor out.
But
confirmed cannibals over here.
How many dead babies can you fit in a basement?
Like, depends on how big the basement is.
That's right.
It took a weird turn.
Depends. Do we cut them up first? Like there's a whole process.
Are we using the chest freezer or the upright?
Why not both?
Oh gosh.
So a lot of the comparisons we saw today were against H100. And GH100, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
The availability on that, it's hard to get. I make the joke, but I know it's not actually. Jensen sits down every night with the list of people who asked for an H100 and clicks down at yes, no, yes, no. But
naughty night.
You've been very naughty this year.
I'm aware that that's not it, but there's a selection.
Does he put on the fake beard with the leather jacket, or
that'd
is
be
there
hilarious? Availability is difficult.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like for 200 series, and what's AMD's supply actually going to look like coming out, you know, when we get hit kind of general availability, like late Q1, early Q2? That's going to be the game changer, because the AI you can make today is better than the AI you can make in a month or a year.
The really interesting thing that I took out of all of this, if we kind of want to like start wrapping this up here, is one of AMD's biggest problems with selling to data center, because EPYC is a fantastic product in general. Mm-hmm. It has been very well received. It has been a customer who says, okay, we want 15,000 of those. And AMD has to say, well, we can only allocate like 7 of those to you this year. Well, then we're just going to buy Intel.
Yeah.
And so that's been the mantra between both Intel and NVIDIA when you think about competition. AMD does not have the logistical power to fulfill all those orders. And so they're losing a lot of orders by default to their competitors. What AMD said today was with the MI300X, they expect to make $2 billion off of that chip in 2024.
Did you get pricing?
I did not get pricing.
Okay, so I can't talk about pricing.
We can't talk about pricing.
Okay.
I did not get pricing. But AMD is confident that they are going to be able to supply whatever the demand is. And that's kind of the confidence that I got out of them today.
So
where that old argument of, oh, I want, you know, an entire data center of those, and AMD goes, well, that'll take you like 6 months because we're waiting on TSMC. I don't think that's a thing this time.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the impression that I got.
That would be
well, epic. And they're having to allocate between the X and the A.
Right.
So,
but they're only making what, 3 parts for this whole thing? You've got a Zen 4 core, which you're already making in bulk. You've got an IO die, which you're already making in bulk. And they've
I just realized it's the compressed SKU stack we were all talking about an hour ago.
AMD makes 5 things and packages them 1,000 different ways, and that's all they freaking do.
Honestly, it's kind of impressive when you think of it like that.
Right.
Like they make like 5 things and then just shout.
They make 2 CPU CCDs, they make 2 IO dies, and they make like 3 or 4 GPU SKUs, and that's literally it. It's just how they package them.
Yeah.
That's
not
it.
They make 3 IO dies now.
No.
They make 3 IO dies.
I'm really happy with the SKU sheet on this.
Right?
One.
Yeah. Right?
You've got an X and an A.
Right. And when you break it down, that's all they do.
Yeah,
and
so,
and we've heard really good things about binning when it comes to Zen 4 and Zen 4C.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard equally good things about RDNA 3, which is why they have so many good high-end SKUs and they're having a hard time competing at the low end. They don't want to bin things down because they don't have to.
My 96-core Threadripper, buddy, that thing, liquid nitrogen, like, whoa.
Ah.
What's even better than it? My 32-core was... really good.
I've only got a 64, you bastard.
I got a 32, 64, 96.
Is that the pro version for the 32?
The 96 is pro. There's no pro 32.
Yeah, there's no
there
pro.
Is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, there's no pro.
They're the 7975X.
But anyway.
Did we what?
Did you use GreenStick 8? I put a overclocking chip.
No.
Oh, no. Sorry.
No, their binning has been, like, the chips have been really good.
Yes.
Like, whoa.
That's the one consistent thing about AMD over the last couple of years is their bins from like Zen 2 forward have been insanely good yields.
Yeah.
And AMD's in a position, like I said, right now, where it feels like they're confident they're going to be able to deliver to the supply demand.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten that impression over the last couple of years.
They're hitting their stride.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I was actually, so at SC23, I was actually talking to vendors and they were confident that they were getting MI300 systems out the door easily by Q1.
I love Taco Bell. So.
Did Jeff get the 2 meows in the last show? Do I owe $50?
Meow, meow.
AMD is the Taco Bell of tech.
Yeah, that's the one.
They make 5 things and package it a billion different ways.
Put it that way,
It's meat, tortillas, meat, beans, cheese, and rice.
Again, I love Taco Bell.
Right. So... lots of good coming out of this. A lot of interesting products. AMD, we've thought that they're hitting their stride in like the last couple of generations, and then they just kind of continue to impress. They are definitely outrunning some of the competition right now. Even though the competition has been ahead, they're improving faster than the competition is, and I think that's the one big takeaway.
Yeah,
from all of this,
powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's over here. Thank you.
And by the way, AMD didn't even pay for my trip here. So I can say whatever I want. I'm on no one's
not
time.
No. We know who you're in the pocket of.
Right.
We know who you're.
Yeah. It's Dr. Tech Tech Potato is who I'm
in the you're in the
of.
Pocket of Big Potato.
Yeah, Big Potato. Those Idahoan bastards. Anyway, they just delivered the check. It is closing time. I am not one to make a barkeep stay late. So I think that's going to do it for episode 312 here on Talking Heads. I'm Jeff. Make sure to subscribe to Craft Computing if you haven't done so already. Make sure to like the video. Do all those YouTube things that make algorithms go up. Leave a comment. Do all that kind of thing. Adam, do you want to pimp PC World one more time?
PCWorld.com. YouTube.com/PCWorld.
Yes.
Our podcast, The Full Nerd.
Full Nerd?
Where we talk about mostly consumer. I'm not going to lie. We're on the consumer end of things.
That's all right. We
for the most part.
I cover that too.
Yeah. So thank you for having me.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Jordan/Jacob, you want to give one more?
Hi, I'm Jonathan from Storage Review. One more time, storagereview.com. Check us out. We've got all the enterprise and some really wacky stuff. Take a look.
And then Greg. Oh, sorry, George.
And I'm George from Chips and Cheese. So that's www.chipsandcheese.com. So check us out if you want architecture deep dives back in the sort of what Ian Cutchess did at Nantech. Throwback to that. So
really great content if you want some super deep dives into the architecture of things. Like I said, surround yourself with smart people. These guys are all smart people.
Thanks
for maybe not that one, but the rest of them, pretty good people.
Thanks for having us on, Anthony.
At least you didn't call me Other Jeff. Anyway, thank you all so much for watching. As always, we'll see you next week, same time, and have a good one. Cheers, everyone.
Oh my god.
You son of a bitch.